And now we have the privilege of again listening to Brother Jerry Leslie, and he has selected as his topic, Our Burden Bearer. Our Burden Bearer. Brother Jerry.
Well, dear friends, in our time frame for our last lesson, we missed the opportunity to bear some special love that certain brethren asked us to carry with us. First of all, Brother Bruni Hack asked his love to be brought to you, and you have had the pleasure, at least in the Chicago area here, of having Sister Robin and Benjamin with you for the last few weeks, but we've enjoyed them in the Northwest. Also, Sister Renata Regala asked her love to be brought to you, as did Sister Margaret Piachanka, we saw last weekend at the Vancouver Convention, and the whole convention wished their love extended to you here. Dear brethren, as we near the end of this convention, I'm wondering what we will take home with us. How will we apply some of the things we have experienced here, heard here, shared here? Convention is somewhat of an insulated environment from our day-to-day practical experiences. I thought that I would like to talk about something that I know every one of you who are seated here today will go back to in some form or another. For you all have some kind of burdens in life. They may be lighter, they may be heavier. They may be very different from anyone else sitting here, but you all have some burdens. It is a burdened world. Every shoulder has its load, the carrying of which often becomes exceedingly tiresome. This is so far true as to make the invitation of Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden," a universal invitation. And a noticeable text comes to our mind, one that we are all familiar with, Galatians 6, verse 2 and 5. Portions of these texts read, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And verse 5 says, "Every man should bear his own burden." A little study of the nature of burdens may be of assistance to us this afternoon. Verse 2 uses a Greek word, baros, for burdens. Strong's number 922. And it denotes weight, or anything pressing on one physically, or that which makes a demand on one spiritually or physically. That which tires. While verse 5 uses a Greek word, fortion, Greek word number 5413. Something to be carried, to bear as of a cargo of a ship. This may be light or it may be heavy, but it bears relates more to responsibilities than does baros, the weightiness of a load. Vine's dictionary says on these words in a footnote, "The difference between fortion and baros is that fortion is simply something to be borne without reference to its weight, but baros always suggests what is heavy or burdensome. Thus Christ speaks of his burden, fortion, as light, where baros would be inappropriate, but the burden of a transgressor, baros, is always heavy." There are at least three sorts of burdens, and we will examine three of them today. First, those that we should bear silently. Secondly, those that we should share with our brethren. And thirdly, those we should share with the Heavenly Father and Jesus, our great burden bearer. Now, obviously, these areas may overlap somewhat, in which case something that may be true of one may be also true of another area. But it may be helpful to isolate these areas in our mind and then make personal application of them. First, there are some burdens that we bring upon ourselves. These may be from the foolishness of our words or our acts. This is when our choices or our negligence and carelessness brings to us burdens. The consequences may be heavy, but it is important that we bear such results as disciplines and as lessons. It would not be right that we ask others to assist with carrying this kind of load, because it is an educational experience and process through which it is necessary for us to pass, and it being offloaded to someone else, we could never gain the lesson or discipline. Of this kind of self-bearing burdens are also some of those kinds of loads that we voluntarily accept. They are of our willing choice. We should not expect others to pick them up for us or expect to be readily relieved. Next are burdens in which the loving care of our brethren may share. These may be burdens which, while instructive, may also provide others with an opportunity to share the love that one member has for another in this body. The load may be things for which we are not directly at fault, or necessarily of a disciplinary nature. They may fall into the areas of unequal or unexpected distribution of demands upon our time, our money, health, temporal or spiritual resources. These may come from ecclesias, from family, employment, or even personal weaknesses. The third area of burdens we will look at are those personal, deep-seated areas of burdens that need sharing only in prayer with our great burden bearer. These are those things that may be of such an involved or private nature that would be either beyond a brother's limit to counsel, or would unnecessarily burden him, or perhaps if others were involved, would only compound the problem and the nature of this burden. So those are the three areas that we need to consider. So let's first look at the burdens for which we bear personal responsibility. These may be from our own faults or choices that we have willingly accepted. There is a suffering for faults that Proverbs speaks of in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. This matter of suffering for wrong is also contrasted by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, 15 and 16. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. We see the differences, suffering as a Christian and suffering for our own mistakes and faults. We may be at fault for evil speaking or presuming upon others or squandering some resource. If so, we may suffer the consequences for it. The tendencies in these close-knit faults is either to blame others for our problems or to enlist the sympathy of others by characterizing the situation with ourselves in the most favorable light, neglecting certain details that would reveal our faults. We see this so many times in children under disciplinary experiences. They received a discipline from one parent, and the tendency is to rush to the other parent for consolation, to take away the hurt. Of course, the best arrangement is that the parents have collaborated on the nature of the discipline, and so that it is instructive, and that the hurt is not immediately taken away, but the lesson will be received. But this tendency in ourselves to offload our faults to others has two very negative results. First, to poison our mind and the mind of others with a biased picture of others and our unfortunate experiences. Second, and most important, it tends to the self-delusion that such experiences may have been beyond our control and disarms us for future trials. If I believe that I cannot control my experience or change it in any way, then I am not looking for a solution. Many things are within our power to control and direct, and we can learn from our mistakes. That's what we wish our children to learn. That's what our Heavenly Father wants us to learn. We can gain control over our finances or our budget for the most part. We can live within our means. We can plan ahead for proper use of our time. We can set priorities. We can communicate with those who influence our lives. We can learn patience and control of our tongue to a very large degree. In other words, we can change. If we cannot change, there is no growth. If we do not change, the burdens may be very heavy for a time until we do. Should we ask either the Lord or our brethren to remove the disciplines by which we will learn by our mistakes? We can ask them for forgiveness. We can confess our sins one to another, James 4:16. We can attempt to make amends, if we can, to repair the damage. But we should not expect to be easily unburdened in this area. It is the principle of 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Brethren, our sins are open now to the discipline and judgment and correction. The world's sins, they will wait till later. They follow after. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12:6. But there are some of those other burdens that we should not look for ready relief. And we've called those the burdens that we have volunteered for. These might be duties within a class, or some financial encumbrance, our marriage, our children, our consecration to sacrifice. These are choices that we accept that we knew would be a load to carry. The principle of counting the cost applies to all such things. We must intelligently choose the burdens that we intend to bear faithfully. These may have their burdensome aspect, but brethren, there is a nobility in bearing such choices unto the end, and asking for strength to persist and not escape, unless it is the Lord who shows that the choice was unwise, and it is He who provides the way of escape. We must be very careful that it is not our rationalizing that invents a way of escape. For the most part, we expect that he will provide strength for endurance. 1 Corinthians 10:15 from the Dialogue. No trial has assailed you except what belongs to man, and God is faithful who will not permit you to be tried beyond your ability, but with the trial will also direct the issue, that ye may be able to bear it. King James reads, escape. The same word translated escape in the King James Version, Strong's number 1545, is used in Hebrews 13, verse 7, to mean the end of a matter. Liddell and Scott says it is used literally of the going out of a ship, a landing. We think that the idea here may be suggested of that of deliverance. By means of the temptations, we will receive our ultimate release, our ultimate deliverance, our victory, so that with such a hope, we may be able to patiently endure the present. This is the thought of Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So tribulation eventuates through a process to hope. If something of this nature were not the thought of this 1 Corinthians 10 text, the thought of escape would not accord with the thought of bear in this verse 15. Now we come to the second category. A vast array of burdens. These are those that we have not chosen or blundered into, but are more related to the common experience related to the fallen, undone human condition. And yet they have a rich instructive value also. Poor health or injury may be our lot. The sorrow and loss of a loved one. The dissolving of our temporal securities. A weakness of the flesh may give way to temptation. Such burdens might well be shared with those willing and able to share the load. Here is where we are able to share one another's burdens. A little extract from reprint 549. A Christian man is overtaken in a fault through some infirmity of character or temperament. He is not to be thrown away, therefore any more than a brave soldier who has not the strength to carry his heavy knapsack and gun must be thrown out of the ranks simply because for the reason he is too weak to bear his burden. His comrades must come up and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. For that comrade, spiritual as he is and strong now, may sometime hereafter become tired by either an increase of what he was carrying or a decrease of his strength. Now the stronger comrade must assist the infirmities of the weaker comrade and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those who are spiritual ought to be considering their Christian brethren all around them to see how they can help the weak. End of quote. We read in James 4, 13 through 26, portions of those verses. Is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any, I think it's through verse 16, not 26. Just check the citation here, James 4, 13 through 16. Is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, we turn to another reprint, 3646, 3646. The law of Christ we have seen to be the law of love. And love says, bear ye one another's burdens. There are times in the experience of almost everyone when the surges of trouble roll high, and the timid, shrinking soul is almost overwhelmed by them. And then how soothing is the sympathy and counsel of a fellow member of the body of Christ. Worldly-minded friends may sympathize, but their counsel is almost sure to be wrong. Hence the necessity of fellowship in the body of Christ and of disfellowship with the world. It is not always necessary to tell one's sorrows and perplexities to another and to have their sympathy and aid. In most cases, they are better untold, except to the Lord. But love's quick discernment is always watchful and ready with the word in season. The cordial friendliness and the helpful hand in need to help bear the burden. And then there are the burdens of conscious sins. In all these, if we are diligently seeking to fulfill the law of Christ, we may be able to cheer and strengthen fellow members of the body of Christ with sympathy and counsel, and such aid as may be most needful and timely. But the Apostle calls particular attention to this last kind of burdens, burdens of sins, and counsels the exercise of this disposition, especially in cases of acknowledged sin. We are all to remember our own liability to sin, and therefore to be patient and considerate with others when they are overtaken in a fault. Such patient forbearing love is one of the most beautiful adornments of the Christian character. End of quote. Brethren, in our help one to another, let us never be presumptuous that either we know all about his situation or that we have all the answers for another comrade in this way. Let us not rush in where angels fear to tread. Sometimes the best help is just to listen, to care, and encourage our companion to find the way that brings him peace with God's will and word. Romans 15:1-3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Let us enter into the needs of one another and confess our own faults without the fear of being ostracized. It is unfortunate that this does occur amongst us from time to time, and that there is a stigma that attaches to bearing with the undone, much as when Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, and on one occasion with a woman who had led a disreputable life. Sometimes we not only repel those with disreputable backgrounds, but we may turn away from a brother whose undone condition when becoming known. We turn away before knowing his resolves and his motives. Then there are those persecuted for righteousness' sake. If not so ourselves, it may be our privilege to be companions of those so used. But brethren, there are many ways that we can do some of the little things. We think of these very heavy burdens, but sometimes the little burdens mount up, and it takes a little help along the way. The little things of life that give a little relief while our brethren find the courage to press on. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And Romans 12, verse 10 and 15 and 16. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There may be times that it's necessary to pray for our brethren, but let us do it. And there may be times that something more than praying for them is necessary. We may need to pray with them. But there are other little things we might do. We may be able to take a sister to a store or offer to shop for her. We can bring our brother or sister a small gift and gesture of love for no special occasion. We can invite a lonely one for dinner and fellowship, or take dinner to a shut-in. We can send a card, a note, a tape. We can visit the sick. We can sing songs of hope. We can read them the scriptures and articles. And the list goes on as the needs go on. But all should be done without ostentation. But brethren, we also bring up another matter here. We should also remember those that are apparently strong and those who do not seem to show their need as much as others. They may have as great or greater a need than those who show it more. Let us hold up the hands of those who labor, lest they be faint. Now we come to certain burdens that may be of a very private nature that would not be wise or healthy to share with all others, at least. There may be offenses from another that we choose not to confront or demand our rights, and it would only complicate matters to do so. We let it pass, and we accept the hurt. Some live with the scars and debts of shameful mistakes of the past. There is the burden of our ever-present flesh, the struggle not to yield to its longings, its fulfillment, its habits at the expense of the spirit, the secret faults from which we must pick up ourselves and go on. Sometimes a helpmate may have become a critic instead of a compliment and a confidant. Divisiveness may penetrate a home where fragrance once permeated. Such things may not be wholesome to share with others, or at least many others. Some things may be too subject to misinterpretation, misrepresentation, or open the door of weaknesses for others that they may have hitherto unexplored, have gone unexplored for them. We ask, is there no one to share such burdens? We use two texts here, one in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and Hebrews 4:15 through chapter 5, verse 2, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Dear friends, let us realize that God, through Jesus, is supervising the affairs of His church. We print 5509. God is the most careful being in the universe. We may be sure. He is not careful in the sense in which the word is used in our text, in the sense of worrying, unrest of mind. But He is careful in the right and proper sense. There are cares that come to the Lord's people because they are harassed by the adversary. These experiences the Lord permits for the very purpose of leading His people to cast their care upon Him, of bringing them closer to Himself, of teaching them patient endurance, of showing them more fully their need of Him. Let us get the drift of this thought. What is the reason for our burdens in some cases? It's to show us that He can bear them for us and of our need for Him. Brother Russell continues, their utter helplessness and wretchedness without Him. But worries and frettings, anxieties that would hinder us in the Lord's service, that would rob us of our peace in the Lord, should be dropped, not carelessly, however, but intelligently, with the thought that Jesus, our great burden bearer, has invited us, yea, urged us, to cast all our care, all that would disturb our peace, upon Him. He will make our burden light and ease our tribulations. He will make our burden light and ease our tribulations. This
blessing
is the test of faith.
Then we had our panel discussion, which we already alluded to. That is, the chairman personally had already done that. And that is, by thy words acquitted, by thy words.
Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In His yoke He will share the load. But the yoke we bear alone, brethren, can be agonizingly lonely. We may bring our burdens and lay them at His feet. He has promised grace to help in time of need. Yet we must long for, hunger for, yearn for His voice of peace and want it more than even the dearest earthly tie. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. In conclusion, brethren, let us keep in perspective this short span of life. Psalms 103, 8 through 19. Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. For as man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He is the potter, we are the clay. Let Him doeth as seemeth Him good. Whether our burdens are more or whether they are less, they will all be a moment of time in eternity. But their lessons will be indelible. Job 23:10. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We'd like to read a poem that's found in the 6th volume on page 518, "He Knows." He knows the way I take. What matter then if dark it be, or rough, or hedged about, his staff shall comfort me. And should his love withhold what seems so near, so dear, so sweet, I'll humbly take this thing and lay it at his feet. How sweet to know he knows and cares and holds me by the hand and will safely guide until I reach the heavenly land. Dear brethren, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.